Okay, so here we go. We're on the third week of Rethinking Time. And so we were reviewing these 5 characteristics that we've already got. And I'm just going to briefly mention what each one of those means. Expansive means God is going to stretch us. And we've said that verse in Hebrews 12 from the Message that says it feels like it's going against the grain. And so today, when I was in my group time, I said, G-A-G, gag. I hate it when that happens. So going against the grain, get it? But God is going to stretch us. And sometimes we don't like that. Sometimes the discomfort and the awkwardness of that makes us shut down the process. So that's the very first thing we want to be aware of. This is going to, you know, make you have some sore muscles. Secondly, it's expensive. It's costly. It cost us our own agenda, basically, to get on God's timetable. Thirdly, we can be expectant when we're on God's time because God is going to do just crazy things like speak to us through a car tag. And I'm not making giant decisions, please, anybody who's listening. I do not marry, hire or fire anybody, spend large sums of money based on a car tag. I don't do that. I don't recommend you to do that. But I do feel like God's always speaking, and he will use, and I believe he confirms his word to his children. For more information on that, see the Listening to God tool and technique. About all the verses that we can say we can expect when we're listening to God, listening for his voice, that is the very thing that brings us rest. We can expect for him to do exceeding abundant above all we could ever hope to ask or think. We said God's time is slow. And it even says that in the Bible, that with God it seems like 1,000 years, a day does. And that his timetable is he's the one that sets the cadence, right, Catherine? And he is the one that knows, we can know about him, that he's doing a lot behind the scenes. We're focused on our one little thing, but he's multitasking, so we want to remember that about God's time. It's sanctifying, that we said that strength rises as we wait upon the Lord. God is building in us perseverance. He's building in us patience. He's developing our faith. He is teaching us to, he's purifying our love. He is breeding compassion in us. He is building, he's given us authority. He's teaching us how to do warfare. Oh my goodness, all the good character traits that are Christ-like come when we're waiting, because we're operating not by sight, not by feelings, but we're operating by faith. And then it's sudden. We can know that all of a sudden that breakthrough will come, that God will come like a thief in the night. He will answer that promise. He will fulfill his word. He has to, because it's impossible for him to lie. So all of a sudden we'll see, you're faithful, God, you are faithful. Okay, so that's our review. Roman numeral 2 then is the next characteristic of time. And y'all, I wrote this lesson on Friday and Saturday, and I'm going to have to turn my paper there because I'm trying to think. It starts with an E this time. And I have to just say while I'm turning to my page, these are challenging topics. God's time, Roman numeral 2, is educational. Remember we said the verse, Psalm 90, verse 12. Teach us. Get it? Educate us. Teach us, O Lord, to number our days aright. Teach us, Lord. So when we're in God's time, that's what he's doing. And what he's doing, the rest of that verse says, so that I might present to you a heart of wisdom. He's developing wisdom in us. He's teaching us to walk by wisdom. And I think the temptation, y'all, for all of us is to get so caught up in managing our time that we don't number our days aright. And managing our time versus listening and paying attention to the signals along the way. And we said that Jesus' schedule was John, the closest that I could find in the Bible was John 3:8. That it was like the wind. Following the Holy Spirit is like the wind that's just blowing. You don't know where it's coming from. You don't know where it's going. And so see, like we were this morning, that we got a chance to just blow around like these beautiful fall leaves. That's what we were doing this morning, just discerning God's will as we went. So that was a good chance to practice that, wasn't it? And so we want to get good with that. We want to get good with that, just listening and paying attention and following the move of the Holy Spirit. I love that passage in Ezekiel that is the picture of the four-faced man. It's Ezekiel chapter 1. Ezekiel has a vision, and it's a being that's led by the Spirit, and it's got four faces: the face of a man, the face of a lion, the face of an eagle, and the face of an ox. And the being turned, it was a wheel inside of a wheel, so it was, I kind of picture it being able to go in every direction. You know how your grocery cart won't go but one way? But some of them, if you go to a fancy store, have those little ones on casters, and then they can kind of do that thing where it just goes in any direction. Well, that's kind of how I pictured that being. And that what it says in that verse is, verse 20, Ezekiel 1:20, wherever the Spirit would go, they would go. They would turn that part of them, the lion part would roar, go out and turn that way if that's what was needed in the moment. Or the eagle part that would soar above and lift above the situation, that face would turn in the direction and take the lead. And that's the kind of people I think God wants to educate us to be, is to educate us to number our days aright and do it with all these various directional cues from him based on the Holy Spirit. And what I would say about Jesus and how he did it, if you look at one of his days, he started his day. You can see it many places in the gospel. He started his day listening. He committed his heart to the Father. He committed his day to the Father. And then you watch him, you get up, and then he gets interrupted throughout the way. You know, he starts out for a place, and it's just a series of zigzags. It's a series of interruptions. I mean, I really don't believe there. I mean, I want to get over the word interruption, because if I believe God is a sovereign God, then is that really an interruption? Or is that just the Spirit moving me whithersoever? I mean, I maybe have to go on a fast of that word and just say, okay, wait a minute. Okay, I'm tempted to say I'm interrupted. I'm tempted to feel frustrated here, but I'm going to let God educate me that, hey, I'm at work. I'm a God who uses all things as my servants. So, yeah, okay, thank you, God. So I'm in the moment. I'm paying attention. I'm not managing. I'm letting him lead. Instead of being so driven by my to-do list, being so driven by my calendar, so driven by my schedule. I was very inspired about the thing of availability and how Jesus really was just available in the moment. And how he says, I do nothing on my own initiative. We've said that before, but I just wanted to re-say that. There's a verse in the Bible that says that, John 5:30. We had a speaker come in, or we being me and a friend, had a kind of got together. A missionary lady did a seminar on prayer. And this woman travels a lot. Because she's a missionary, and because they're on a budget, and because they travel a lot, they plan their flights well in advance, and they use frequent flyer miles, so she knew when she would be in Birmingham. And I had known that I would see her for this event, and I had a beach trip planned the day after the event. And so, you know, we had communicated that, but I was so glad I was going to get to see her for that day. And my mom got really sick, and so I ended up not going to the beach. I ended up staying in Birmingham. So she's packing up her stuff, y'all. You know, I mean, just like at the end of Bible study, at the end of this thing, she's packing up her stuff, and she goes, well, Kathy, what did you decide about going to the beach? And I went, oh, I'm not going now. And she said, well, would you like to get together on Friday? And I went, I would love to get together on Friday. I'm thinking, she's been knowing she's going to be in Birmingham for months. And yet she was available. God knew I wasn't going to the beach. I didn't know that. But she was, I was so inspired by that. I thought, I don't know that I would have ever had that opportunity, because I would have wanted to manage my time well. I wanted to be a good steward. I wanted to be intentional. And y'all, those are all good things. But can we stop and challenge ourselves in that area? Like, can we rethink it and just say maybe we're too intentional? I don't know. I'm asking these questions to myself. I stand before you as a woman who wants to be educated in this. I need to be educated in this. I think about David. The scripture that came to mind was David and how he was a man after God's own heart. I don't think it was a heart issue. I think it was a thinking issue, and that's what I felt like the Lord said to me, and I feel like, let me just say that to all y'all. I think our thinking's off in this area, but David had he was moving with purpose, and he was moving with intentionality, and so he made these plans. He wanted to build a temple for the Lord, and listen to what God said. I love this. Actually, this is Solomon talking about his dad. Solomon was the one who was called to build the temple, not David. And it's 1 Kings 8, 17 and 18. But the Lord said to my father David, whereas it was in your heart to build a temple for my name, you did well that it was in your heart. Good for you that you want to be intentional. Good. Nevertheless, you shall not build my temple. In other words, listen. Wait on the Lord. Listen to his voice. And then follow. So here's the few, I don't have this down pat. I do have a few things that I have lived that I will share with you about how can we do this in a biblical way. These are just some simple biblical questions that the Lord has asked me. One of them is based on Galatians 5:6. That basically says what counts as faith expressing itself through love. And I wrote a blog post about this, but in my mind, I just love the sound of the train. And I was standing in the pharmacy yesterday, and they had the drive-thru open, and I could hear that train going by. And every time, it just made my heart just soar. But what that says to me is those two parallel tracks, and I got this from John Riddle many years ago, that we want what we do to be within the boundaries of faith and love. What counts is faith expressing itself in love. And so, Kathy, the Lord asked me the other morning, I felt like he brought that scripture to mind, and the question that was implied by that was, can you do this event? Can you make this trip? Can you pull the trigger on spending this amount of money within the boundaries of faith and love? Do you have faith to do that? And would that be a loving thing to do? So that's a really simple way for me to decide, okay, do I go to Publix or do I go to Whole Foods? just eat the simplest things with my time. Do I invest my time in going to see my sick mom or do I invest my time in going to yoga? I mean, whatever. I mean, those would be examples. Another scriptural simple question is based on Mark 20, 30, and 31, which is the first and second greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind and strength, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. And so the question that came to my mind when I was praying one morning about a particular way to use my time was, what would be the most honoring to God? What would be the most honoring to the people, the other people involved, my neighbor? And what would be the most honoring to you? What would be the most loving? And then the third one, I loved this. I'm not really sure how I landed here. It was in my journal. I think I looked up something. I know I looked up something on my search engine, but I can't tell you now what it was I plugged in. But this verse came out. Colossians 3:15, which I've known for years, but it was from the Complete Jewish Bible. And I don't like to throw too many translations out there, but it did it for me. So Colossians 3:15 from CJB translation was, let the shalom, which comes from the Messiah, be your heart's decision maker. Is that not the best? I just keep going back to that and I think, let the shalom, which comes from the Messiah, be your heart's decision maker. And y'all, to me, that's the litmus test about rest. Rest to me, rest and peace are near synonyms. I mean, if you go to thesaurus.com, you're going to find rest under peace and you're going to find peace under rest. They are very closely related. So that's how we can rest. When I have that nagging caution, when I have that tiny little check, I say don't. When in doubt, don't. Let the peace, let the shalom be your heart's decision maker. And then there's my mother's prayer. She is a little faith person. That's her giftedness and very childlike in it. And she's told me before to say, you know what I just pray? And I'll say, what? Lord, would you just block it? Would you just block it if I'm not supposed to do that? And I just thought, oh, that's good, Granny. I'm going to pay that. Okay, y'all, let me just tell you how many frustrating moments I have had since starting to pray that. So I'm saying, warning, 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 gag time, you know, going against the grain time. But I will tell you that I'll pray, oh, Lord, just block it if I'm not supposed to do that, especially when I'm doing a scheduling on a tight schedule or whatever. Or it's a lot of times in lesson prep. I mean, I think these principles go beyond just how to use your time. But anyway, I'm going to tell you about a tiny little story. That's a little mini testimony that hopefully will stick in your head about this. But I had moved Marilee, my daughter, up to New York, which, by the way, I'm going Thursday to go see her for her birthday, which is tomorrow. I had moved her up there, and I was leaving this day, and I had my SUV. And so we had, I mean, just think about having your own SUV in New York City. You know, so I had one day of an SUV, and I needed to get on the road by dark so I could get to my spot so that I could then get home, you know. So I was on a tight time frame. And I want to tell y'all that on this trip, I had had favor parking place, favor out the wazoo. I had had traffic favor out the wazoo. I had been just driving like a cab driver in Manhattan. I was just like, oh, this rocks, baby. You know, I was doing that. Okay, so we get to this day, and she needed a place because she is sleeping on a futon. She is sleeping in her apartment is as big as this section of table. She sleeps there stays there with another girl. It's tiny. And so she's sleeping on a futon, and she has to take all that junk off the futon, and we're just going to put it on the floor? No, let's find a chest as a coffee table because we didn't have room for the coffee table. So that was the idea. We felt like that was a spirit birth idea. Old chest, futon materials in, take those back out and put your pillows and blankets in. Isn't that a great idea? So we had our vision. We had a vision without a vision, the people perish. So here we are in New York. And so we did a little research, and it was like, okay, I know exactly where we're going. Got in the SUV. We're driving down the streets of Manhattan. We went straight to the place. I had a parking place out front. Go in. We walked in. And y'all, we hadn't even gotten to the front door of the place of business, and there was like a little courtyard, and there we walked up, and there it was right there. It was just sitting right there in the front door. It was like Marilee goes, Mom, and I went, yep, Marilee, there it is. I mean, walking with Jesus is so much fun. I mean, we were just loving this. Okay, so now let me tell you what happened after that. So the guy even gave us a deal. I got it was my birthday. I got a Majolica, which is something I collect, which nobody cares. And so then we were just love giving God my time. Okay, so we get back in the car, and we're going to go to lunch, and we had just enough time for me to feed her, feed myself, get the thing out of the car, get my stuff into the car, and then hit the traffic, beat the traffic, so I could make my hotel at 11 o'clock that night. Okay, so, y'all, can I just say, the traffic favor, it was time for me to leave because I had no traffic favor. I had no parking place favor. Oh, my gosh. And I'm thinking, what is this? So I finally said, okay, I'm just going to find a parking deck. I don't care. Forget the parking, free parking. Okay, mister, can you put, how much is it to park for 1 hour? 27. And I said, no, not for one day. 1 hour. 27. I said, dollars? And he said, yeah. So I said, forget it. And so I said, Marilee, forget it. I will just eat a sandwich in your apartment. Here we go. And so, I mean, we had full bladders, and I mean, we had been driving around for a long time trying to get a parking place to this particular place she wanted to go. The grace had fallen off. I was just so frustrated. So I was driving, and I needed backup and give you one little bit of data. God had been giving me all these verses about feast. Sort of a little theme, a little vision, a little sidetrack that I'm on with Jesus. Feast, feast, feast. Every time I turn around, feast. Okay, so I'm kind of huffy. I'm kind of thinking, I hate to end like this. We have had so much favor, but here we go. I'm just driving down the boulevard, and I'm going to just go back to your apartment and just eat some dumb sandwich with your cute table. And okay, so Dana, let me let you put the thing. I am driving down the streets of New York, and I look, and I see in giant letters over there, feast, y'all. And I just went, that's what you were doing, God. So we sat down at this place, and I mean, Mary Lee said, Mom, this is the best lunch I've ever had in my whole life. It was gluten-free. I kind of even wondered, is that in New York? Were there angels? Were there angels that were serving us? Y'all, really, this coffee? I said, can I buy some of this coffee? They said, no, we don't sell it. And I'm thinking, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, are we really here? I mean, I'm kind of thinking, these are angels serving heavenly coffee or something. It was one of those moments. She's like, I'm taking a picture of this so I can duplicate this salad at home. And it was just like the ultimate. And so while I'm sitting there, I said, honey, you know what? I want to go back to the driving around thing for just a minute. I'm wanting to process that out loud with you. And she said, okay. And I said, well, obviously God was trying to change our plan, right? You will hear a voice behind you. And it says in Isaiah 30, whether you should turn to the right or to the left. Well, and sometimes God gives us a stop sign. And I said, I think what happened to us is Granny's prayer. That I've prayed to God, God, if you don't want me to do something, I want you to block it. And she went, it was like you could just see the light bulb went on. She went, Mom, that's the greatest thing I've ever heard. I said, I know, isn't that great? And I said, but it's frustrating in the moment, isn't it? She said, it is, but I'm going to remember that next time I'm frustrated, that maybe God has got something better for me than what I had. And I said, yeah, that's neat, isn't it? I said, so we go, we finish our wonderful lunch and the coffee that they wouldn't sell us, get in our SUV that we did find a parking, and y'all, there was a parking place right there. I mean, I'm just going like, you can't make this stuff up. So we get back in our free parking lot. I think I had to put money in that one. But anyway, I didn't care. So I got in. We drive to her apartment. We take her little thing in. We get my stuff. And we walk out of the apartment. And then I want to show you what we saw on the way to the car. It was a road stinking block. And it says Triumph on it. And I thought, God, and I know the verse, and I'm going to have to write a blog post about this. God always leads us in triumph. He always leads us in triumph, y'all, in Christ. So that's my illustration about let the shalom of the Messiah be your heart's decision maker. Okay, you really can't make this stuff up. I'm just telling you, that's you can be so stinking expectant with God. 1, 2, 3, Roman numeral 3 is exclusive. And then I'm going to add to the end of that. I was listening to a song. If anybody wants some good listening music about just being still in God's presence, there's an old CD by Danny Chambers called Sing Over Me. It's awesome. And there's a song on there that says that's called Exclusively His. And that's sort of a repeat of what we've already said, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. But y'all, I felt like there were some verses we need to cover that I wanted to go back to about our time, the day that I came to know Christ, my time became His. It says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. I don't belong to me anymore, and my time doesn't belong to me anymore. And what I've learned is, and I've learned this, you know, in the schoolroom of life, is that if I believe that my time is my own, if I forget for a second that my time belongs to Him, let me tell you the symptoms of that. And then this can be your little minute to go, ding, 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 ding. You're thinking your time's your own. Never have enough time. You're late. You're hurried. You're scattered. You're anxious about how to best use your time. You're pushing yourself to squeeze every second out of it. You push yourself to achieve your list, your goals, your desires, your agendas. You hoard it. You hide it. You hide it from God. Hide it from the needs of others. You develop an entitlement mindset, and the way you know that is that you resent it when there's an interruption or a request or a distraction. See why I had to cover this? I know. And I'll just say that, God's educating me. He has been working on this area in me for a long time. So he is educating me about this. And I do believe that my time is exclusively his. I found that, you know, I am gifted in the area of administration and organizing. I mean, that's one of the gifts. I think I've got that. And I've got a lot of natural energy. So I have been able to get away with squeezing a lot in a day. But y'all, God, this is just a testimony that's going to take about three sentences. I've told you before, he has me in a season right now where my time is stretched so thin. I'm like that little rubber band that's about to pop. But he's doing it. It's in a really, really good way because I'm really not pulling the levers here much. I will say I veer off. I do veer off of those railroad tracks. I do. But I really don't have, he's kind of got me on a really short leash, you know, so I can't get too far off. But I was feeling that so acutely. There was one day this summer when I was still running that I was out on Jemison Trail and I was just going, what God, what God, what God, are you trying to tell me something? I just feel the pressure. Pressed, stressed. That's how that little blurb got read. And I was on the trail and some song came on my music about surrendering. And I felt like the Lord said, have you surrendered your time to me? And I went, oh. I thought I had, but God, I mean, I hit the dirt right there. There's a little, I don't know if y'all go on Jemison Trail, but there's a little at the top of one of the rides of the hills. There's a little stump. It's a big stump. It's about this big around. Stump that I always think looks like a little throne or something. And so I was right there. I just hit the ground and I bowed before that. And I said, God, I surrender it to you. And I mean everything, my writing, my teaching, my career, my cooking, my exercise, running dates, my discipleship dates, my everything that is a regular, my trainer appointment, my hair appointment, my all these things that I have assumed. I mean, that's just what I do. I get my hair done get a haircut every 6 weeks, 5 weeks or whatever. I mean, that's just what I do. God, I put that out there. I repent of having just assumed that that's your will for me. I lay it on the altar. And y'all, I will just tell you, God took me at my word. And he has led me. There's that verse in Isaiah 42:16 that says, along unfamiliar pathways I will lead them. And I've been on some unfamiliar pathways. And there's been a lot of not knowing. But I will say the faithfulness of God shines in a way that you can't get when you know where you think you're going, you know. So, a lot of freedom. I mean, really, a lot of freedom in that. And it's sort of surprising. So I'm going to say this verse. Ephesians 5:15-17 says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Teach us to number our days aright so that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. Teach us to number them, Lord. Be careful then how you live, not as wise, but unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. His will is. Let me say 16 and 17 in the Amplified. Making the very most of the time, buying up each opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be vague and thoughtless and foolish, but understanding and firmly grasping what the will of the Lord is. So in other words, we are stewards. We want to invest our time and we want to do it wisely. We want to do it by listening. And I do want to say this. I read this in a book somewhere and I thought I've just got to say this, and this is the best place to say it because of the next point I'm going to make and because of what I just said. We are not short on time because we are heirs of eternity. Don't you love that? We're not short on time because we're heirs of eternity. Y'all, when we gave our life to Jesus, it tells us in John 3:16 that he gave us everlasting life. We're never going to run out. Now, our days on earth are numbered, but we're not short on time. We've got all the time from eternity. And then let me say the last point is eternal. And I'm going to make two points about this. One is, we want, kind of flowing out of that thought about make the most of every opportunity, invest our time in ways that are eternal. And that to me means by listening to God and doing and following. And 1 Corinthians 3, 13 and 14 are a place that tell us about at the end of time. It tells us this also in 2 Corinthians 5, but I'll read from 1 Corinthians 3. And this is the New Living. There is going to come a time of testing at the judgment day to see what kind of work each builder has done. Everyone's work will be put through the fire to see whether or not it keeps its value. So, yeah, I'm just going to tell you, there's a bunch of my stuff, a bunch of my minutes, a bunch of my days, a bunch of my seasons that are just going to get consumed in the fire of judgment. Not because God's mad at me, not because he doesn't love me, but because I was my own God in the area of my days and my minutes. But as we grow, as we rethink time, we can have something that lasts for all of eternity. And then the second point I want to make is seeing our past from an eternal perspective. You know, we've been talking about having those mindsets. You know, we've alluded to this truth about the things that we've been exposed to from the moment, I think, of our conception. They say, you know, preborn infants can hear. So from the moment that you were conceived, you started getting messages. And I believe that we carry those with us in some form. And I think there's two ways you can do that. Let me read this verse, and let's talk about how some of those things that are the mindsets that aren't the truth, that are the mindsets that are blocking the flow of the Holy Spirit, that are blocking our freedom, that are blocking our peace and rest and refreshment. We want to go back and identify not just that they're there, but how did they get there? When did that get started? So Lamentations 3:20 tells us, my soul remembers and is bowed down within me. Y'all, our beings, our inner beings have a memory that sometimes we're not consciously aware of. And the things that happened to us in the past do impact us today. And God, though, because he's omniscient and omnipresent, not omniscient, but omnipresent, his nature transcends time. And so listen to this. Psalm 139, 3 through 5 in the New Living says, you chart the path ahead of me and tell me where to stop and rest. Every moment you know where I am. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. And then I love this verse 5 in the New Living. You both precede and follow me. So God, y'all, whether we were saved or not, whether we were aware of it or not, God was with us every second of our lives, even in the painful things. And he can reach into our past and redeem them. And I believe he does that. I've experienced him to do that. What he wants to do for us is he wants to reveal the places in our souls that remember and are bowed down. And then he wants to heal. Revealing and healing is his business. And so I've got an exercise for us to do. We're going to be starting it next week and then the next week. This will be what we'll work on over the semester break. Our last class will be the 19th of November. But this, there's two ways you could do it, but this is a timeline. And they did it this way. You can do it that way, whichever way. But I've given you some pretty detailed instructions about it. This is not something, I mean, you can run home and fill in every year of your life and put significant things that happened to you at first grade, second grade, third grade. You can do it that way. I wouldn't suggest you do it this way. I would suggest that you would prayerfully and reflectively put it out before the Lord. And yes, if you want to put infancy, early childhood, you know, want to make some categories. Maybe, I mean, we've got 150 of these back there. Take a page for your categories. Copy some more at home, whatever you want to do. But let the Holy Spirit bring to mind things that are significant. Put them in that season of your life. And then let the Holy Spirit reveal to you the messages you received in those moments in time. And then prayerfully deal with those. Your group leader and I will both be willing to help you with that, bringing Jesus into those moments. Where were you, God, when that happened? and find that He really is able to reach into our past. He really is able to make a difference. I'm going to give you a one-minute testimony, just one example of how He did that for me this week or this past week. Obviously I knew we were about to do this, and so sometimes I'm a week or two ahead on the homework and stuff, and so I was working last week in one of the stores I go to in my pharmacy job, and I was the overlap pharmacist, which meant there's another pharmacist that is the charge pharmacist that's over the whole store. I was kind of an assistant that day, and the district manager came in. And y'all, I mean, I've gotten, especially in this was kind of like my home store. They all hugged my neck when they saw me come in. Oh, it was, you know, and I knew what to do. That overlap thing there's nothing really hard. I've got somebody to ask. It's not as scary as it used to be. So I was fine. Y'all, this woman that was the district manager came in, and all of a sudden I noticed that my chest got tight, my heartbeat started going up. I started, you know, just, I got really tense. I kept thinking, and I had trained to give flu shots, and I hadn't given one yet, and I thought, oh, great, I know what's going to happen. Those two need to talk about business, and I'm going to have to give a flu shot, and they're going to be watching it, and I'm going to be doing it wrong, and then they're going to have an anaphylactic reaction. Then I'm going to have to get out the EpiPen, and I don't know. It was crazy. And I thought, and I pray my way through the day. I really do. And I thought, I sense this fear. I rebuke, and I renounce fear, and I announce the shalom of the Messiah, you know. But later, and God helped me, and I did get to give my first flu shot, and guess what? They were back in the back, and I ushered my little sweet man with a cross, a big old cross on his chest. We just sat down and talked about Jesus while I gave him his flu shot. It was the sweetest thing. But later, I mean, I had sort of forgotten about it. I kind of got over it. I thought, oh, God, you're so sweet. Thank you for getting me through that little anxious moment. But I was working on this timeline thing, and of course I got to live it, and the Lord reminded me of an episode that happened when I was probably between 8 and 10 years old, and He had showed me this back in the summer about another situation, and it seemed like such a small thing, but I was riding my bike on sort of an adjacent neighborhood, and I really didn't have any friends down there, but we swam at the same swimming pool, however you say that. And so I think I was, the best I can remember, I was riding around looking for somebody to play with. I was an only child. My best friend had moved away. So I was looking for something to do. I guess I was bored. I was on my bike, and there was a girl that was about my age, but way bigger in stature than me. And she just, I mean, I think I followed the voices, you know, that, oh, I hear some kids playing, I'm going to drive my little bike over there. And I did, and I'm riding up, and I mean, this girl comes out, and she starts just dog cussing me, threw me off my bike, I hit the dirt, she grabbed me by the hair of my head and started dragging me down the alley, and just was mocking and berating and ridiculing and humiliating me. And I was just so shocked. I mean, first of all, I didn't know girls fought. A, B, I didn't know they talked that way. C, what was I doing anyway? I mean, it was just a shocking episode. It was not a big deal, though. I mean, I just kind of thought, okay, so I got bullied one time. But y'all, I cannot tell you how the Lord has used that with me in a peer relationship back this summer that was having some difficulty. I felt bullied by that friend. And that's what was going on that day in the pharmacy. He brought back to mind that bully thing. And I will say, I'll just give you one little instance of how I might feel bullied. Kathy, is that your bag over there? Yes, ma'am. Well, you do know you need to take that and have that locked up in the manager's office. I mean, it was kind of like that. And I kind of went, oh, yes, ma'am. You know, so there was a little bit of that, you know, I'm in charge here kind of thing. So, I mean, I know I need to be submissive to the people that are in authority over me. And I said, yes, ma'am, and I did what she said. But the emotions that go with it, the thinking that go with it, that Lord doesn't want me to have to feel anxious about that. He wants my moments, all my moments, to be rest and peace. And that I can experience that peace inside, I can experience that security inside without fear of being bullied. even if somebody is legitimately doing it, you know, that I really am safe with God. So anyway, that's just one little example of how God can use our memories to inform us about our thinking. And so I challenge you to get started on that. Please, don't feel like bring what you have and be ready to talk about it. And then I'm going to close with this verse, Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24 from the BBE. That's the Bible in Basic English. Psalm 139, 23 and 24 says, "O God, let the secrets of my heart be uncovered, and let my wandering thoughts be tested. See if there is any way of sorrow in me, and be my guide in the eternal way." And now I'm going to close in prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, that you go before us and you follow behind us. That, Lord, there's not a moment of our lives that you weren't there with us. Thank you, Lord, that you are such a good teacher. God, that you are educating us about how to have a heart of wisdom in regards to our time, Lord. We want that. Please come and be our teacher. Thank you that you've promised that you will instruct us and teach us in the way we should go. I pray that your peace would rule and reign as umpire in our hearts. Lord, that you would let us operate between the boundaries of faith and love, that we would honor you, God, and love you and our neighbors and ourselves, Lord, in the way we use our time. Lord, I pray that you would block us from not doing your will. Help us, rescue us from ourselves, Lord, and help us to remember, oh, yeah, God's blocking me, or he's saying turn left. And Father, I pray that you would just, help us remember when we start feeling frustrated or resentful that our time really doesn't belong to us, Lord, it belongs to you. Thank you so much that we have all of eternity to fulfill your purpose. And Lord, we pray that we would just yield all of our time to you. We surrender to you now, Lord, and just thank you that it's yours and that you are the one that is so wise. You best know how to use it. And so we just entrust that to you and thank you that you're going to teach us. And we love you and we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.